The world's poorest nations are set to be hit hardest by climate change. Yet, compared to rich nations, these countries have fewer resources to adapt to climate-driven events like drought, flooding, and sea level rise. And women will feel it most. Experts say that climate change is already exacerbating existing gender inequality. Hilary Bambrick is the Professor and Chair of Population Health at the University of Western Sydney. Her research focuses on the health impacts of climate change in Australia, Ethiopia, and the Pacific. She says the current lack of action on climate change is costing women their lives.
Well, with climate change as it's occurring already, we're already seeing extreme events around the world becoming more frequent, more intense, more prolonged. So we're seeing more cyclones in the Pacific. We're seeing very severe hurricanes. We're seeing flooding. We're seeing bushfires, these sorts of things. And women are being directly affected by these already. So, for example, in 1991 in Bangladesh, there was a cyclone. And 90% of the 250,000 people who were killed, 90% of those were women. So if we don't take adequate climate action, these events are going to continue. They're going to become even more intense, more prolonged, and more frequent.
Why is climate change worse for women?
Well, the number one reason why climate change is worse for women is poverty. So around the world, women are more likely than men to be poor. Poverty matters because it affects where you live. It affects the type of house that you live in. It affects your underlying health. So women are more likely than men to be poor around the world, and climate change therefore has a greater impact on women through that mediating factor of poverty.
So other than poverty, what factors make women more vulnerable to climate change?
There are a number of social and cultural factors that make women more vulnerable to climate change. These include being less financially independent. They may not have the skills required that they need to escape a flood, for example. They may not know how to swim. There might be cultural and social restrictions on women's movements or what they can wear in public that might inhibit their capacity to escape. They might not have access to information, so they might not have a radio, they might be illiterate. And they're more likely to have to be in contact with disease vectors such as mosquitoes just through their everyday work that they actually do.
From your research, what are some examples that show women as being more impacted by climate change than men?
In Australia and other similar places where there is greater gender equality and a good social welfare system, the effects are not likely to be so profound. So you might have, for example, more older women dying in heat waves, but some of this might be due to the fact that women have outlived men anyway. In other places where I've worked, such as the Pacific and in Ethiopia, it tends to be women who have responsibility for family, for feeding them and keeping them well. So when when family members are sick from, say, a climate-sensitive disease such as malaria, it's women who are needing to look after them. Interestingly, it's also women who are at greatest risk from one of the contributors to climate change. So I'm talking here about indoor air pollution from the burning of solid fuels such as wood. And the burning of these fuels leads to respiratory disease, and it's estimated to directly cause 4 million deaths annually. And it also contributes to local warming. So it's one of those things where finding alternative solutions that are both climate friendly and healthier is a major priority in places such as Bangladesh, India, China, and Africa. And this would greatly improve the health of women in those countries, as well as contributing to reducing climate change.
How are women playing a role in climate adaptation and mitigation?
Well, women are making an impact at all levels. They're really rising to the challenge of climate change. And when I say all levels, I really do mean all levels. So we're talking about at community level, for example, where women might be in charge of making sure villages are clear of debris that attracts mosquitoes, that transmits disease. They might be teaching and learning more sustainable agricultural techniques. Another level we can look at is women as scientists and other researchers who are working on the issue. There might be policymakers in government all around the world, especially in public health, for example, to the politicians participating in the COP21 talks in Paris, and right up to the United Nations climate chief.
What kind of strategies would help women be better able to respond to climate-driven events?
Obviously, the problems faced by communities are very different around the world, depending on what particular climate-sensitive health risks those communities are in danger of. Certainly, the number one thing we really need to do is to reduce poverty. Women are much more likely to be poor than men, And one of the things about climate change is it actually acts against poverty reduction. So you need it. Not only is poverty making the impacts of climate change worse, particularly for women, but climate change also makes it very much harder for people to escape from poverty as well.
And to what extent is the issue of gender inequality being discussed at the decision-making levels in the lead-up to the Paris climate talks?
It's certainly something that has been that is now being recognised at the highest level. So Christiana Figueres, the UN climate chief who's running the Paris talks, has recently stated that gender will be an issue on the table in Paris.